This is part two of the interview of Sarka Beze, taped in Berlin, Germany, by Hannah Silver in October 1983 and translated into English. Tell me about the Gestapo and your children, Hannah. Also about the marriage. My two children were not members of the Hitler Youth. It happened like this. One day, there came three gentlemen to my door to talk to me. I always had my children present because I wanted them to be well informed so that they wouldn't miss anything I was myself fighting against, so that they would understand me. The three gentlemen informed me that my children were to be taken away from me because I wouldn't allow them to be educated by an enemy of the state. Does that mean that you were considered an enemy of the state? Yes. And that I brought up my children the wrong way. My daughter was to be taken to the family of a Nazi, whose wife was also a member of the Nazi party. My son, Wolfgang, was to be taken to a political educational institution run by the Nazi party. When I asked them, why is my education that of an enemy of the state? Answer, because you are still a Marxist. Whereupon I said, gentlemen, let me tell you something. Only yesterday, the Führer gave a speech, a very important speech. I heard part of it, where he said that there are no more Marxists in Germany. So, you made a liar out of the Führer, and I will go tomorrow morning to his chancellery and report that you called him a liar. They said you would not go there. You wouldn't dare. I asked them, are we a constitutional state? Is it your Führer, or is it the Führer of all the Germans? I'll go to see the Führer. They said, now do not make such a noise about it. Do us a favor, do not go there. I said, let the Führer tell me himself. We talked just a bit more and then they said they had to go somewhere else and they left. What was interesting to me, that I recognized one of the men as a former neighbor when I still lived in my big apartment. He was a professor at the university. We knew each other very well. And yet, he had the courage to do this to me. We sat together for a while, my children and I. We were quite shaken. I kept on thinking what I should do, how life would go on like this. There was somebody at the door. The mail slot opened. A letter for my son, with his admission to the Hitler Youth with his membership number, and another letter for my daughter with her induction into the BDM, Bund of German Girls, with her membership number. I told my children that no Nazi uniform would ever be permitted in my apartment. They would have to get dressed and undressed outside the apartment. But my children said I shouldn't worry. They wouldn't go. And they did not go. The letters were without significance to them. Were they not forced to go? No, they didn't do anything anymore, not to me, not to my children. This was in 1943. My daughter was just before her graduation. She had great doubts that they would let her graduate because, as a rule, all of the persecuted were not permitted to graduate. They gave her the thesis. She asked me what to do with it. It was a real Hitler subject. I told her that this was for her to decide, since she had to deal with it. She then chose her own subject, Goethe's theory of color. She wrote such an impressive work that it was recognized, and she graduated with honor. The Gestapo visit and the search of the house was now forgotten by us. Immediately after her graduation, My daughter had to work for the labor service, Arbeitsdienst, in a place east of Berlin called Spreewald. In 1943, drafted for the enforced labor service, Dienst verpflichtet, while my daughter was drafted for compulsory work duty. Since I was under 42 years old, they wanted me to work in my profession as a teacher. When I refused, I was warned that I would have to work in an ammunition factory. So I preferred to try how it would work out as a teacher. I didn't last very long because I didn't go to work on Nazi holidays like Hitler's birthday, etc. I was then transferred from Berlin. Forcibly? Yes. However, I could choose the place. So I asked for Frankfurt, Oder. When I went to the head of the school board there, he asked me, "How is it that you are not a member of the party? Here, every teacher is a member. Where do you want to work?" My answer, "I want to work in the countryside, possibly near Cottbus." He said that this would be all right with him. I should go to the school board in Cottbus. My son was with me, and we went directly to Cottbus. I agreed to go to a village. A teacher there had just been drafted into the army. It was a four-grade school. I was able to call my daughter in a neighboring village where she was with the Arbeitsdienst. That is why I tried so hard to get there. My daughter came over by bicycle. She told me that she had agreed that morning to teach in a one-class school. The school board had told me that they have to take care of that one-class school. Thus, my daughter became my assistant teacher, and it stayed this way. I was able to do illegal work in that area. For you, it may be of interest that on the first evening, my neighbors came over to welcome me. They were curious to meet a Berliner. They talked in a strange language. When I asked them what language they were talking, they said, "We talk Yiddish." I wondered why they talk Yiddish during the Nazi regime. They said that all cattle dealers in that area spoke Yiddish. All our deals of buying and selling cattle is conducted in Yiddish. The same evening I was hired to be the bookkeeper for the cattle dealers. I didn't want money, so they paid with food for me and my children. I stayed there until 1945, and through the Yiddish-speaking cattle dealers, all of them were party members, they took me with a milk truck to Cottbus when they introduced me to people that were no Nazis, all of them opponents of the Nazi regime. One day somebody told me to sit down, "We want to show you something." He brought me the flag of the Cottbus Social Democratic Party, which had been sewn into a pillowcase, just to prove to me that they were for real. In other words, all these people had joined the Nazi party? I'm not sure that they were opponents. They just didn't care for them. But had they joined for not being considered outsiders and thus under suspicion? They were afraid the Nazis would take away their farms, or worse, take them away. Which had happened before? Yes. From Berlin I had brought some Jews with me. They lived now in my village. Did you hide them? No. They lived in the village. Nobody knew that they were Jews. One Jewess and three little girls, they lived with a farmer. They paid their keep. They worked along with the farmer in the fields. Nobody knew who they were. Was there no police registration necessary? Oh yes, there was. The leader of the local Nazi party was also a farmer. He often said to me, "I'm taking off for Cottbus today to see my game. You do not have to worry." Did he kind of protect you? That wasn't necessary. Nobody had any idea who we were. Then there was a doctor from Czechoslovakia. When the Nazis were retreating and the Russians advancing, he told us not to worry. When the Nazis retreated and the Russians approached, he said, "I'll take care of you." When my son contracted scarlet fever, he marked our door with a red cross. Nobody was to enter the apartment. The doctor, a Jew, had been taken away as a Czechoslovak. He was drafted and put by the Germans on medical duty. The Nazis passed our door with the Red Cross. Then came the Russians and we took off the Red Cross. That area, the Spreewald, what is it today? Poland, East Germany? When the Russians marched in, the people there said, "We were no Nazis. We are Serbs. We were not permitted to wear our costumes under the Nazis. We were not permitted to talk our language." I was able to confirm this and swore to it that they had not been active Nazis. "Did you then go back to Berlin?" "No. Because of my illegal work during the Nazi regime, I was called upon to be vice chairman for the Social Democratic Party of Province Brandenburg in 1945. I was also made chairman for the Anti-Fascist Commission and come to Potsdam. One day came two Russians, stood in my doorway and said, 'You bad.' Then came two Russian officers and wanted to interrogate me. They had difficulties with the German language and I couldn't speak Russian. I took the phone off and called Fritz Ebert and told him, 'Fritz, there are Russians in my office. It seems they want to take me away. Will you please see to it that this is straightened out?' He then contacted Lena Stein, a Jewish friend of mine, one of those who had lived through the illegal time in Berlin. She came over and said to the Russians, 'Out!' And they left because she was a secretary to the chairman. Then she said to me, 'You better get out of here immediately.' I called up my two children. They came. We met in the street in front of our house. We couldn't take anything with us except what we were holding in our hand. Then came the chairman of the Communist Party over to me and said, 'I want to be sure and give his name, Willy Siegebrecht. Hertha, you do not deserve this. Well, we do not belong to the same party.' We did appreciate what you did. I will see to it that you get out of here safe and without further trouble. However, Fritz Ebert declared me free. That is, whoever would catch me had the right to hand me over to the Russians or to shoot me." "And then you went to Berlin?" "Yes. Then we went to Berlin and I went to the district mayor of Wilmersdorf, Ostrovsky, who said, 'Of course you'll get an apartment.' So I went to the housing department where they had lists of available apartments whose Nazi owners had run away." "What jobs did you hold in Berlin?" "I was district mayor of Reinickendorf in charge of youth, education and welfare from 1948 to 1965 when I retired. For the resistance I led in the Spreewald, we had a whole company of French prisoners of war. They had to work in the field. I went by in the morning on my way to school and always greeted them with, 'Good morning, gentlemen.' I did their correspondence with France. They came to me to write letters for them and mail them, and then came letters for them. In gratitude for this, they invited me in 1950 to come to Paris. There I was honored and given the Golden Rose Award of Paris for my help. I received the Marie Juchat plaque, the Ernst Reuter plaque, and I was made Elder Statesman of Berlin, also chairman of two foundations, one for released prisoners." "I remember that you were in Norway on TV. You were honored there, were you not?" "Yes, when they interviewed me for the Norwegian TV about my resistance and the whole Nazi period, I told them, 'Gentlemen, you should not always talk about Nazi Germany. I think that is wrong. There was no Nazi Germany. There was one part of the Germans were Nazis and the other. They were the other Germany, a sound German people that did not make any difference between Jews and non-Jews, who remained democratic, who helped each other even when it meant to share the last piece of bread. Many thanks, dear Hertha, that you told us your story. Yes, it had to be told. Yes, it had to be told and to be preserved for the future.